You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, you're going to love it. Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. I hope that you're having a great summer. I hope you had a great weekend. I gotta tell you, most of my summer thus far has been spent trying to set my daughter up with play dates. Okay, we go to school or they go to school a little bit farther away. So I want her to meet people that are, you know, within the, you know, next two or three neighborhoods so she can ride bikes. And I kind of feel like I'm dating at this point because I'm hitting up people like, hey, I heard that you have a daughter that's going into seventh grade. I've got one too. Are they interested in riding bikes and eating frozen yogurt and, you know, dancing in the street? I don't know. Like, do they want to hang out? At one point, I went and played pickleball with three rising seventh graders. And I've realized this about me. Not only am I merciless when it comes to playing pickleball, but I also am part Amy Poehler in Mean Girls and part Joan Crawford, but a life coach. Because the beginning of the conversations are always like, what's new? What's going on? Like, what are you reading? What are you listening to? Like, who's cool in school? Like, what's going on? What's the story? And then it soon turns into, you should not hang out with that person because they're going to end up in a van down by the river. And I feel like they leave and they're like, I'm terrified of that woman. So I don't know how well it's going to work out. But listen, if you're in the local area, you've got a rising seventh grader, please hit me up. I will come out with you. I will ride bikes with you if it takes that. And the other problem is I've been doing this job for so long and I have watched so many Dateline 48 Hours mystery and cult documentaries that I'm convinced now that everybody is part of a cult, which is my problem because my daughter met this really sweet girl and she had asked, can I tag along with her? She's going to this like Bible camp. And I was like, listen, unless I go there and I listen to what they're talking about, I'm not comfortable with that. So I had this conversation with her outside of her house and it basically went as follows. And I want you to know that as this is happening, a man is walking by with his dog with his head askew. Like, what's going on at that house? I was like, listen, you're not going to go, and here's why. It's a slippery slope. You're telling me you're going to Bible camp. Next thing I know, you're living on a compound. You've got a full jean dress on. You're wearing pantyhose. You're wearing clogs. You're working in the fields, and you've got a French braid. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable with that, and next thing I know, I'm going to see you on, you know, one of these shows that I follow all the time. I'm just not comfortable with it, and she's like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. So that's the price you pay when you got a daughter who is looking to meet friends. And so if you have one that's normal and is, you know, you're comfortable with having long conversations with me about what's going on TV, then please DM me. I have to tell you, I'm obsessed this week with two shows, Love Island and Big Brother. And they're both on CBS and they're back to back. Love Island is a bigger commitment. It's, you know, one more episode per week than Big Brother. Big Brother is a bunch of people isolated in a studio in Los Angeles, and they are followed 24 hours a day by cameras. there are a ton of people that are watching the live feeds in addition to the telecast. Those people are doing God's work because they're watching what the cameras are covering and then giving you updates on Twitter and on Reddit threads. And it is absolutely entertaining. I can't even tell you. You've got to check that out. And then Love Island is set in Hawaii, and you have people that are in that sweet spot where they really want to meet someone, but they also want to be a TV star. So they make terrible decisions about romance based on wanting to stay on the show, because it's sort of like The Bachelor and Bachelorette. Like, the longer you're on, the more opportunities that you're going to get post show. And so you're watching from the glory of your couch, and it is amazing. So please check out those two shows. Another great show I need you to watch is BET Presents The Encore. This episode, my friend Carlos King, who's the executive producer, comes on to talk about it. This show is unbelievable because it's kind of like The Real Housewives, The Bachelor, and Making the Band if it were to have a baby. So it chronicles 9 former R&B girl group members and recording artists as they form a super group to create an album. But here's the kicker. It's within 30 days. It's crazy. And Aubrey O'Day is enough television viewing for you to watch to make it worth it. This show is so good. And Carlos is such a creative dynamo and so fun to talk to. So he's in this episode, and I know he never disappoints. And then Rob Cesternino is my friend, and he is the go-to expert on Big Brother. He has a great podcast. It's called Rob Has a Podcast. He's so funny. He's a former contestant on Survivor. So throughout the year, he's covering Survivor and Big Brother on his podcast. And so I wanted to ask him about season 23 of Big Brother, which just premiered. You can still jump in. So this is why I had him come on, because he's going to go through all the rules of the game, kind of give you some context of who is to watch on the show. And he's just so funny. So this is jam-packed episode. You have a lot of homework. So you've got Love Island, Big Brother. You have BET Presents The Encore. And you also have my list that comes out every week with what to watch. So that just came out on Monday. So go to substack.kkc.com and you will get the list of what to watch this week. And I have so many good options for you. I can't even tell you. So here we go. Rob, oh my God, Big Brother 23 just premiered Sundays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. You are the go-to expert on the show. It's a big commitment to watch the show, and you have been committed. Listen, this is like a marriage, don't you think? Your commitment to the show? You've been cheating on your wife with Big Brother. Am I right?
Boy, I would like to say that I have visits with my wife 3 nights a week. Big Brother is, the hottest marriage around.
Well, this show is on so many times a week. It's so fun to watch. But for people that are like, that's a big commitment for me. We're here to tell them it's worth it. And I want you to help me walk through what the show entails, because there are a lot of rules.
Yeah.
And if you just jump into the deep end, you're going to go, wait a minute, this is a lot going on. So for everybody, just the basics is that Big Brother is the show where people live together in a large house. They are isolated from the outside world and have continuously are watched by television cameras. So each series lasts for around 3 months. It begins with 16 participants. The housemates try to win a cash prize by avoiding periodic evictions from the house. So first up, explain to everybody, what is a head of household?
The head of household is basically like the president of the house for the week, and they get to pick the 2 people who are going to be voted on, one of which will leave.
What is the power of veto?
So after 2 people get picked by the head of household to be up on the block, the whole house is going to get ready to vote for those people. But there's one more game or competition where people could win the power of veto, including one of the people that is up for nomination. And then they have the option to protect one of the people that are on the block. So you could take one of the nominations down and veto them. And then the HOH would have to add a 3rd person up for nomination.
What is the power of the alliance? How important is the alliance?
Oh, and then like any of these shows, you know, you want to have numbers. So there's a lot of different alliances in the House. People have multiple alliances, and there's giant alliances and smaller alliances within the alliances. So once you sort of like get the routine down, like it's not that tough to follow.
Okay. And explain to everybody what happens with an eviction.
And then on Thursday night is always a live show on Big Brother. And then the two House guests basically like stand before the House and give a speech why the House should keep them. And then everybody votes one by one who they vote to evict. And whoever has the most votes to evict on eviction night ends up leaving the House.
And what is a jury?
And then there's a jury about halfway through that they are the last like nine people in the game before the end. Then they vote on who played the best game.
And then what happens in the finale at the end of the 3-month period?
Well, everybody gets their lives back and we award a winner. And this is the biggest cash prize ever in Big Brother. They finally went from $500,000 and they raised the prize to $750,000.
Which, I don't know, in the scheme of things, after three months without income, presumably.
Right.
And you have put yourself through emotional torture. You've been followed by cameras, which ultimately might lead to PTSD. And you have to take out the fees associated with lawyers and managers and agents. The question is it worth it to do this?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No,
right.
It's not.
Yeah.
Well, also, so many people like have their lives ruined on this show also. Like, I think the people, like maybe like 15% of the people that come on the show come out of it and didn't have their lives ruined in some way.
And a lot of them are not aware of how their lives are falling apart because they're sequestered and their cameras are following them, but they have no idea what's going on in the real world. So then they leave the House thinking, I've just been guaranteed fame, all the Instagram followers I could ever want in the world, only to find out that their lives have been destroyed while they're there.
Yeah, either they've said something, because there's also live feeds where people are following everything that people are saying on in the House. So whether it's like they said something inappropriate on the live feeds or even on the television show, even if, okay, you come away unscathed on that front, just like the psychological damage that's done to these people, where then they can never like, you know, not be just like talking about Big Brother or like being an influencer for the rest of their lives because of this.
And they are filmed the whole time. What's the bathroom setup? Because I know there are a lot of people listening right now and they're like, Dear God, I need to take a shower. I want to brush my teeth. Or like, do people see me in a towel? What happens?
Yeah. So there's like one downstairs bathroom, which is sort of like a stall situation of like, it's just like basically like it's like a half bath and that people go in, and no lock on that door either. So I think you have to do sort of like, they have like a thing you turn around to signal if it's occupied or not. And then there's like a shower that's like sort of like kind of like behind like a glass door in downstairs. And then there's the head of household room, which has like a private bathroom.
And it's decorated like Z Gallery threw up on someone, correct?
I think the theme is sort of that they're saying it's like Monte Carlo.
Oh, okay. Monte Carlo, if Monte Carlo was at a rave. I mean, it's visually a lot. So in addition to this, they're sleeping, you know, in a full bed next to a stranger that they get to know over time, but they don't really know if everything that the stranger is telling them is the truth. For example, Sarah Beth works as an engineer, I believe, but she's pretending to be a voice actress.
She's a forensic chemist.
Yeah. So you don't really know if the person that you're sleeping next to, spending all your time with, lifting weights with, making ramen noodles, is actually telling you the true story of their life, correct?
They could be lying, yes.
They could be lying, which is unbelievable. So you're at an elevated state for 3 months if you make it all the way to the end. What's great about it is you can sit from the comfort of wherever you watch the show and watch people in this extremely stressful environment, and it's total gamesmanship. So there's never a point where they're not at, you know, really spending an enormous amount of time thinking about every little word they say. And it's the moments when they forget that usually gets caught up on a live feed, And then people on Reddit threads and Twitter feeds inform the rest of us, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Amazing. There are a lot of people that are just watching them on the live feeds just 24 hours a day.
And romances. How important are the showmances to the show? And what's the craziest thing you've ever seen?
There's the romances are a pretty big part of the show that they seem to happen every single season. And as far as like things that are crazy, I mean, that there has been, you know, a lot of sex that has happened in the Big Brother house. I mean, there's almost never, and I don't think there's ever been any sex that happened on Survivor, but they will sex on the Big Brother.
They will sex. All right. Mm-hmm. So new crop, 16 contestants.
Yeah.
I need to know. My first question is, who are the standouts for you? Because you have watched people come and go, and you've got a great eye for who's going to take this through. So who is the standout for you?
Well, right now, the biggest lunatic in the house is a man named Frenchie,
for sure.
Who came into the house, and he has just been a complete like whirlwind throughout the entire first week, where usually it's a good thing to be the first out of household, but he has just had like the most chaotic first week in Big Brother history. And the fans are just have their minds blown right now by Frenchie.
Well, what's interesting, okay, so Frenchie's 34, he's a farmer from Kentucky, is that apparently he's such a Big Brother fan, he's kept journals. But he made some grave mistake by promising all the women that he would never put them up for the first chopping block.
Yeah.
And then, of course, what happened?
So, of course, then he had to go back on that. I mean, he promised so many people that he was going to keep them safe. And he's just changed the plan so many times. And I mean, the show has only captured like a little bit of all of the changes that he's made. I mean, he's changed the plan, you know, 30 different times. And we're not even through the first week of Big Brother.
Can I tell you, I watch him and I think... I'm going to see him on television again, and it's not going to be at a press conference for Big Brother's finals. I believe that it might be on Dateline. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he may or may not have committed a crime or has plans to commit a crime at some point in the future.
Yeah, I don't know what he's capable of, but if this first week of Big Brother is an indication, then, you know, anything's on the table right now.
So what's interesting is while you're looking through the cast and you're watching them, I typically think, okay, it's the person that has the best social game, because you could be the smartest person in the world, but if you're annoying, you don't really have a lot of legs. Like, for example, Brittany is 24 and she's a lot. She's a kindergarten teacher. She's super smart, but she's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if people are going to want to hang out with her. I kind of think about it like if you were stuck at the Irish Times bar in Washington, D.C., a fantastic Irish bar, by the way. Who do you want to hang out for 3 months? It's not going to be the kindergarten teacher that is just like hyper all the time. But I do think it could be someone like Xavier, the attorney from Michigan.
Yeah.
Because he's cool, he's collected, and he seems like he can get along with everybody.
Xavier has been a standout so far, and he seems like that he was a lot of people's like number one pick going in, and he has done nothing to take that away from the people that are thought he can do very well.
The other person for me that is a standout is Azah, because she's a 30-year-old former model who now is a director of sales, but because she noted that her grandfather was a polygamist with 6 wives and 47 children, and she has over 300 cousins. Therefore, her social game is probably incredible. Oh, yeah, listen. Polygamy is obviously strange. But for me, if I'm stuck in a bar for 3 months, I want to hang out with a girl that's got lots of stories about her weird grandfather. And she probably is used to being around people all the time. So if I'm going to put money on the game, she's my favorite. Who's your favorite?
You know, those are two of the top picks, I think, that you said right there.
Oh, good.
I like Tiffany also, that she is the single mom who's 40. You saw her on the Sunday night episode that she was able to tell when Frenchie was eavesdropping by the door. But really, it's just been like everything has been just like Frenchie is such a black hole of like just absorbing, like sucking everything into like his gravitational pull, that it's hard to really get a good sense of what other people are even doing.
So if you were to be cast for the show, and there is a possibility that it could happen in the future, would you go into it with a fake persona? I mean, if they didn't know you, which of course they do, but if you were to go in, you're like, I'm not going to be me, I'm going to have a fake job. What's the fake job?
Yeah, so I mean, would a podcaster be such a impressive job that they would be like, I got to get rid of this guy, it's podcasting?
I think they would go, he knows the game too well, so he's got to be on the chopping block.
Because I podcast,
so get rid
about
of him.
Big Brother.
Yeah, okay. So they're like, he's a threat, so we need to get rid of him. But if you say that you are a welder or that you sell customized plates on Etsy, you don't seem like a threat. So if you were to come up with another job, what would it be?
Well, I think I would want something that would make people want to work with me. I feel like a social worker. I feel like oh, okay, this person seems like they would work with me and be very relatable. They have like a noble profession, so I would work with them.
I think the same thing. I would call myself a community soccer coach.
Yes.
Because they would go, oh, she cares about people. She's for the greater good. And then they would get out and find out that I've watched every episode of the show and I was out for blood. But that's really their problem after they get kicked off the show. And tell them how glorious it is once they get kicked off and they leave the set and are joined by Julie Chen Moonves on stage.
Yeah, well, they go sit with Julie Chen Moonves and then she has like a conversation with them. And then sometimes we'll like ask them questions about like, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? And then sometimes she'll like have like a, like on the wall, like, okay, this was the big alliance. You didn't even know that was an alliance in the house. Like, oh my God, I feel so stupid. And they say, would you like to hear the words of the people that said goodbye to you? And like, I guess so. And then they say like, oh my God, Kate, I can't believe it. Oh, you're gone. And then they leave.
But sometimes it's funny because people are like, bye. Like, I didn't really like you, but see ya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, oh yeah. In the goodbye messages. Kate, I'm not going to miss you. I'm tired of your attitude around this house.
That's my favorite. Okay, give me your favorite button from your board of sounds.
So, from this season so far, this is okay. Last night on Sunday night, we had Frenchie, who's trying so hard to be liked by America. He said this.
I came about a lightning bug's length from the butt crack of a donkey. Taking that.
Like, that's not an expression.
He made that. He put that in his journal. He was like, what are the best sound bites? And he just came up with something like late at night with the cigarette dangling out of his mouth before he was cast. That's got to be made up, right?
Yeah, a lightning bug's link from the butt crack of a donkey.
Okay, right.
What?
Wow. Yeah. All right, hit me up with one more.
I thought that this was funny, that this was Alyssa, who is being targeted in week one, said,
my friends will not be my friends anymore if I leave week one.
I just felt like that this is these are bad friends.
I feel like
friends are these?
Yeah, I feel like I hear that too. I feel like they'll mention family members too. Like, my mom will never talk to me if I come back. I'm like, oh, what? Your mom's going to talk to you. But also, like, Frenchie's got three kids. And I didn't hear anything that was really authentic about like, I'm really kind of bummed I'm missing out on summer camp or anything. I felt like he only brings them up when he needs to. And the reason why I think he may commit a crime is because he can turn the waterworks on pretty quickly. Like, when he was talking to Brent, he was acting like he was really interested in his story. And I just kept thinking, he's not listening. He's thinking about Coors Light right now.
I don't know. He wants to be popular. He really, really does. Yeah. He wants to be loved by the Big Brother fans.
All right. So my money
is hated.
My money is on Azza or Xavier. Who's your money on?
Yeah. If I can't have either one of those, I'll say Tiffany.
Tiffany's good too. listen, I'm obsessed. I can't get enough. And I have to tell everybody, if you're on Clubhouse, jump in one of his rooms. I cannot stop laughing. Your rooms are the funniest on Clubhouse, bar none. So funny.
Oh, Kate, well, it's always a pleasure to get to talk to you, whether it's on a Clubhouse or a podcast.
You're like, Bobby, what's going on? How'd your test go? And he's like, meh, it kind of went crappy. He's like, oh, okay. Mary, what'd you make for dinner last night? I mean, everybody is so invested and it's so funny. I just love the rooms. But I love listening to your podcast because you really are the go-to expert on Big Brother. And I hope that you all jump in, start listening to a show too. So tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, if you're interested in more Big Brother coverage, Survivor coverage in the fall, it's robhasawebsite.com. And the podcast is Rob Has a Podcast.
Ah, I love you so much. Thank you.
Okay, Kate, always a pleasure.
All right. Well, BET has this phenomenal new show. It's 9 of the most memorable solo female artists and groups from the 1990s and 2000s to form the ultimate R&B supergroup in this new original series called BET Presents The Encore. Now, Carlos King, the creative dynamo, mentioned to me the last time I spoke to him, I'm working on something big. And he, that little rascal, did not tell me anything. And here we are. I'm watching TV. This comes up upon the screen. And I thought, this is what he'd been keeping in the bag. Carlos, welcome back to the show.
Hey, I miss you. I love you.
Okay, genius idea. This is like The Bachelor, Real Housewives, and Making the Band. If they were to have a baby, this is so freaking good. Tell me how this concept came about, because you are sitting on a gold mine here.
Thank you, Kate. No, I created this 7 years ago. 7 years ago, because I'm a huge fan of girl groups. I'm a little gay boy who grew up with the Supremes, TLC, Destiny's Child. Like, I just love girl groups.
SWV.
Hey.
I get so weak in the knees, I can hardly speak. Oh, yeah. Of course.
Hey, you are my sister from another mister. I love you so much. No, SWV. I love the lead singer, Coco. We follow each other on Instagram. I just love girl groups. Oh. Yes. So weak is my jam. No, but I created this show 7 years ago. And the story of any executive producer creator's life, you create something that you know is good, mm-hmm. you pitch it, it gets passed on by networks. I had two pilots of this concept 7 years ago, and both networks ultimately passed on it. And 7 years later, BET decided to pick it up because the clip got leaked through a disgruntled assistant.
Wow.
Who decided to leak the pilot, and social media went crazy. We had Gabrielle Union, Sunny Hostin from The View retweet the leaked clip and said, we need this show in our lives right now. And Kate, it felt good that here it is. This is the permission mm-hmm. that I needed, that I had something great. BET decided to pick it up, and the rest is history.
How in the world did you convince these women to join the show? Now, a lot of them have families, they have jobs. This is a big commitment. I mean, it's hard to get my girlfriends who have kids to agree to go, you know, out to dinner, let alone what this project would entail. So what was the time commitment required, and how hard was it to get them to convince them to do it?
It did not take a lot of convincing for some of them. Half of the cast I had 7 years ago. So they were happy to be back in business with me and to mm-hmm. really do the show. The rest of them who have children, I said to them, think of it as a mommy vacation.
Okay, I'm digging it.
30 days away from your kids mm-hmm. to do something fun, interesting, and to make music out of it. So that was the other layer of confidence that I had in pitching this to those women. And they were going to be without their families for 30 days. And I think any mother can speak to the luxury of at least having a month just to like pursue your dreams or to reignite the flame you had for your passion. And they decided to do it. So I'm happy that they did, and I think a lot of them are happy that they did too. It was worth it for a lot of them.
But how much footage did you have to cut out where someone was like taking a phone call from back home at headquarters, like, you know what, mommy's busy right now, mommy has a dream to happen, and you know what, I don't give a shit about this, like, you know, figure it out. How much of that had to be cut out?
Oh, honey, lots of it, lots of it. This is like Big Brother. It's literally 24/7 shooting cameras, rigged cameras all around the house. One thing about this show, unlike Big Brother, because these women are mothers, we did allow them to have their cell phone when needed. So a lot of the conversation was about their families and checking in with the kids. But we did have to cut a lot of that out. But, you know, that was the beauty of the show, too. The fact that these women were allowed to at least have their cell phones. So I definitely think that also helped them realize what a great opportunity this was.
I kept thinking, and maybe I'm always thinking with an executive producer hat, you've convinced them to do this. And I just keep watching, thinking about their fragile egos, because, you know, this is a second chapter and you've asked them to take a big risk and they are putting themselves out. Some of them are, you know, massaging an old muscle they haven't used for a while. They're around other women who may have stronger voices, and there's a lot emotionally that you probably have to unwind. How were you protecting their sense of self while also, you know, making them feel good about themselves while protecting them from the possibility that it might not work out for them?
Yeah, these women are so brave. And I tell people all the time, I don't care if you had success for decades, when you are doing a reality show, you're putting yourself out there for the world to see. And a lot of these women had fame and success without social media, without a camera around them 24/7. So their vulnerability was on display. And one of the things we do at the company is we make sure to be there for our talent. You know, we make sure to hold their hands, to talk them through some of the most emotional moments. A lot of them wanted to leave. A lot of them wanted to throw in the hat. It took a lot of us behind the scenes to just talk them through this process, because to your point, Kate, you know, they've had success and they did not have to go through, you know, seeing other women sing better than them or other women judging them or this timeline of putting music together, also working together and working with people who you had no relationship with. So a lot of that fed into their insecurities. All of them came in with insecurities because none of them knew who were going to be a part of the cast. So to walk into the house knowing that I'm going to be living with these women for 30 days, I don't know who, to create music, I hope they can live up to the standards that I may have. But they all did it, and I give them all the credit in the world for sticking it out, because it definitely is not easy for anybody to be vulnerable on television.
True or false, Todd Tucker is also involved in the production of the show.
So 7 years ago when I created the show, Todd Tucker and I were business partners.
Oh.
Yeah, we did a show called Hollywood Divas for TV1 7 years ago. So we were in business for about 2 years. And then within that time frame, the Encore, was now called the Encore, but the show we had was a part of both of us. So when we decided to go our separate ways with business, it was agreed upon that if this show ever saw the light of day, he would get a credit for it. So he gets a credit for it.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Because of the early production, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the women. I mean, they're so hilarious. They're so authentic. That is the beauty of women of in their 30s and 40s. They are not projecting some image based on what they think will make them famous. Like, they have very complicated, full lives, and they're showing up to this opportunity and really revealing things about themselves that I think are unexpected and profound. What has that been like for you to be witness to that?
Oh my gosh. It's again, I'm a fan of girl groups. So yeah. I am going back to my teenage years, you know, thinking about how big of a fan I was of these women and to sort of see who they are years later as grown women, mm-hmm. who some of them are mothers and have a husband, and to see them really give some exclusive tea about their experience in the music business, mm-hmm. and also just understanding where music is now and opening up about their challenges being women in the music industry, women of color, being in a girl group. And the one thing that I did not realize, Kate, was being in a girl group is like being in a sorority, meaning you only understand what each other's going through. I remember listening to your interview with Bronwyn from Orange County Housewives and how she said when she learned she wasn't coming back, the other housewives of past and present, they all rallied with her because housewives is like this sorority where they understand what each other go through. So these former girl group members have that experience, and to be able to give them a platform to share with their fans and their fan bases their experience, I was watching television every day while filming.
What have you learned about female performers in the process? We know that you've worked with women, you know, on Housewives and other television projects for quite some time. And I believe I even asked you maybe in our previous interview, like, what have you learned about women? What have you learned about female performers because of this process?
It's hard to be respected as a woman in the music industry. It's a male-dominated field.
Yeah.
And it's hard for a woman to earn the respect when she's doing all the work. And one of the things you'll see in upcoming episodes of The Encore is the challenges that these women face in terms of the respect that they're demanding from the male producers in the house. And that's something that I heard rumblings of back in the day, just women having, you know, difficulty gaining their respect, but really understanding that these women all share one common denominator, and that is the destruction of their group all had to deal with a man.
Ah, that's pretty profound.
Yes, a man is always at the hands of the destruction of a girl group. So if you do your research,
yeah,
and
you're right.
List all the girl groups,
yep.
There's a man who is the sole reason as to why the group did not make it.
Say it to the people in the back of the room. Wow. Yeah. I mean, over the course of history, absolutely.
Yeah.
Even the Supremes.
The Supremes, Destiny's Child, TLC. Yep. It's one of the things that I learned.
Spice Girls.
Spice Girls. It's either a man who is the Svengali, or it's a man who may be dating one of the members, and he's in her ear saying, "You're the best. You're this. Don't take this. Don't take that." You know, it's a man somewhere in there.
Wow. Well, I hope that then younger women that are watching this are taking notes and getting the fire in their belly to go, I won't stand for that. That's pretty incredible. What about the way that all of them have a different idea of the way that they want to be as a performer? I mean, some of them are more religious than others, and that dictates the kind of lyrics that they want to, you know, have in their songs. How did you navigate that?
Yeah, because these women had this shared experience of a man calling the shots, I, along with the network, we wanted to make sure that they called all the shots. The beauty of this show, Kate, is the fact that we really did sit back and watch these women decide their destiny on their own.
Right.
So a lot of them, of course, were like, we want to be hot girls like Megan Thee Stallion. Some of them wanted to be super religious. Some of them wanted to be respectful mothers and wives and not talk about sexy stuff. So the fact that they all had to put their brains together to figure out how can we mesh all of this together for us to truly create some great music. And that's the challenge that they had to do over the course of the 30 days. But one thing I will say without giving too much away is the music that they created is some of the best R&B music I've ever heard.
It's
fantastic, because when you get, and this is why I love working with women, and this is why I always tell people, mothers are superheroes and women are
You're
just
darn right. They are.
Seriously. When you allow women, despite women always having their issues with whatever, with each other, that's just the way the world is. But when you get them together, they can really produce some great shit.
For sure. Okay, so let's talk for a second about Pamela, because she made a comment that was pretty jarring. If you could tell everybody about that. I'm sure many of you behind the camera are just, your heart's aching because you can see someone in the midst of some sort of life experience. Talk to me about Pamela and Pamela's role in the group.
Yeah. So Pamela is from the girl group Total that Sean Puffy Combs created, and they've had massive success with their multiple albums. Pam admitted that she used to be with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That she had a lesbian relationship. Pamela told the ladies in the house that the moment she became religious, she realized that it wasn't godlike for her to be with a woman because of what she read in the Bible.
Right.
And the ladies understood that until she said she was delivered. And that was the part that was jarring for the cast, because they feel like you can't pray the gay away. And as a gay man, I can assure you that you cannot. Right. And I can assure you as a gay man that you are definitely born gay. There's no choice in the matter. So as a gay person watching this conversation unfold, of course, you have your own opinions about it, but it wasn't about me. I wanted to make sure it's about these women's experience. And it was about Pamela stating her truth. The beauty of that entire conversation is you had someone like Keely, mm-hmm. from the Cheetah Girls through LW, who felt it was homophobic to say that you can pray the gay away or that you've been delivered from being gay. So it was this great conversation that I feel like a lot of people are having in their households about sexuality. Is being gay a choice? Can you be gay for decades? And the moment you decide to not be gay, is that feeling just gone?
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to have these women have that conversation so freely, I loved every minute of it. And it wasn't hard to not step in, because again, it wasn't about me. I wanted to make sure as a producer that we had everybody's point of view.
You're very good at that.
Thank you.
You are very good at that. I appreciate that.
I did not want to make this one note.
No.
So when Keely expressed herself, one thing we wanted to make sure was that if you're going to express your disdain for this comment, at least have it around the other women so that everybody can weigh in their opinion. Mm-hmm. And what we loved about it is Pam was allowed to hear Keely's opinion and to counter with her truth versus having Pam watch on TV saying, wow, I can't defend myself. I didn't want that. I wanted to make sure that you knew what was happening in the moment. A lot of times in reality TV, producers allow a comment like that or any jarring comment to be made, and the person on the receiving end only finds out about it as they're watching the show with the audience. And I always felt that that was unfair. So we wanted to make sure that everybody knew what the topic was and have the ability to address it, so that when Pam watched it with the audience, she knew what it was about versus hearing it for the first time, because it would have been very unfortunate if she would have learned it that way.
Imagine in the year 2021, this story of a Black woman in a group, you know, in her late 30s, early 40s, acknowledging that she was in a relationship at one point with another woman would have never happened. Never. That is shift-making television.
And the fact that it happened organically with Aubrey O'Day just touching her leg.
Yeah.
And Pamela feeling the need to address her sexuality in that very moment. And because in 2021, I think we're able to now have these conversations. I think at the height of Pam's career in Total, there was no way you were having that conversation. Because when Pam was in Total, it wasn't public knowledge that she was in a public relationship with a woman. Mm-hmm. So to be able to have these conversations in 2021, I appreciate, and that's the television that I want to continue making.
You're so good at it. Keely, she just wants to be a manager? Like, what's going on? I'm like, why? I mean, I kind of understand Aubrey. I'm like, why are you here?
Keely, who's been in two successful girl groups, felt that she had the intelligence to be the creative director of this forming girl group. She did let producers know that I don't want to be in the group. I want to, you know, create a direct. Again, I follow the reality. So what I said to Keely was, instead of you telling me that, you have to tell your cast that. I can't enforce that upon the household. Let's see how they react to it. And they reacted to it.
That's interesting.
And she has to navigate her way into making that happen.
Interesting. Aubrey O'Day is hilarious. She is great television. I mean, I think that you've done such a great service to her by showing who she is. Her personality is super dynamic. She's really entertaining. And I think she had a difficult number of years in the media. And my hat's off to you for allowing her this opportunity to really express who she is. I'm assuming that she's been really touched by how people have really enjoyed seeing her on the show.
Yeah, no, she wanted to make sure that her next venture into reality was focused on the music, because you haven't seen how talented she is in terms of her musical artistry.
Yeah.
And that was the main reason she decided to do this show. She wanted to remind people that I'm an artist, I'm a singer, I love girl groups. Let's do it this way. So to be able to have her showcase that to the world, she was definitely happy for that. And super appreciative of it.
Of all the women, so we've got 9 women, different personalities. Some of them are, you know, as they get older, are pushing more towards gospel. Some are just super devoted to R&B. Of all the conversations that you're overhearing, who are some of the artists that they mention all the time that they really look up to?
Oh, they love Brandy.
Oh.
They love Brandy. They feel like Brandy has a great voice, the vocal ability to really stand the test of time. That was one name that was prevalent. And of course, Beyoncé. Yeah. You know, because Beyoncé is a triple threat and just a superstar artist, dancer, musician. So Brandy and Beyoncé were the two ladies whose names were mentioned in the house constantly in the studio.
Does Brandy know this?
I don't think so.
Well, now she does.
Now you know, Brandy, you were definitely on the vision board for these ladies. They loved your vocal ability and they all were like, Brandy this, Brandy that, and the musical production that Brandy does with her voice. They were all like praising her for that.
Most surprising friendship that's come out of it?
I would say it would be between the twins and Keely.
Oh, interesting.
The Cherish twins and Keely, because they started off in the first episode very rocky and contentious, and they have found their ways to be in a very respectful working relationship that developed into a friendship. So you'll get to see that over the course of these episodes, but I was super surprised that would happen based on how they interact with each other the first 5 minutes of them being in the house together.
Which of the 9 reminds you most of yourself?
Good question. I would say I'm a little bit of, not a little bit, my team would say you're a lot. I'm a lot of like the Cherish twins. I'm a workhorse and I'm about the work and I'm honest when it comes to my team. Like, we're honest with each other. And that's the culture that we represent in terms of we want to be the best and do the best. So I understand the twins coming across like, oh, they're this, they're that. They're all about the work. And I'm someone who gets that because I am all about the work. And I want to make sure that we all do a good job at the end of the day. So I see myself and the twins a lot.
So when you're amongst the others, the crew, the other producers, what is the one story that you're most proud of telling in this show? The one where you're like, this is something that we're so proud to have been a part of, to be a witness to, and that this is like our legacy.
Woo! Good question. Which you do a lot of those, by the way. wow. You know what's so interesting? I would say it's a lot because, for example, when we think about the 702 sisters and Irish talked about losing her twin sister because her twin sister was in the group. And this happened in the first episode. And you saw these women rally around her and understand what it's like to lose someone so close to you. When you have Pam talk about sexuality in the Black community, to me, it is those real moments that I love the most. Listen, I love a good read session. I love a good shady bite. I love all those things. But I know that my legacy and what my audience expects of me is let's peel back the onion and let's really dig deep in terms of who these women really are. And allowing them the platform to share their experiences with the world. I don't think people understand how awesome that is. Like, imagine your favorite pop star, rock and roll star, rapper, whatever, and having them share what it was like in their heyday, and then to see them work on getting their second chance. I just think that's so beautiful. And one thing about me, and someone said this to me recently, like, you're all about giving people a second chance.
Right.
Because I do not believe for one second that, you know, you only have one time to get it right. Mm-hmm. I think you learn, you fall, you get back up. You know, I look at that with the housewives I work with and who I had to talk to after they got fired. And say, there's, don't let this one experience dictate who you are. Like,
absolutely.
Stay focused, go back a little bit, regroup, and then figure things out. And the number one thing that I don't like when people lose something that they love so much is they rush to get back into it. And it's like, you have to take a moment to regroup and reflect. And these women are examples of that.
And you're celebrating aging.
Absolutely. Life does not end at 30. Life does not end at 40. Life doesn't end when you have children. Mm-hmm. I do not believe that. I think, you know, if you still have it in your heart to be who you want to be, continue working at it. I look at Bethany Frankel, who everybody would have said, like, oh, girl, give it up. You tried it already. And look at where she's at now.
Yeah.
Look at Cynthia Bailey, who is 53 years old, who had a great career as a supermodel. And she is now, and it's funny, I was talking to her this morning because they all call me. I was talking to Cynthia this morning, and we just marveled at the fact that she has been on that show for 11 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of people counted her out. And the fact that she started that show at 40.
Also, I believe that you become infinitely more creative when you have children.
Mothers are the superheroes of this country.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You women have the ability to not only bring life into this world, I also think it just does something to your body in a creative way, and you just feel, if you can bring a human being into this world,
yeah.
I feel like mothers feel like I can do anything I want to.
I also think there is like an element of the Black magic, like Black women and their hilarity. And to give this show, you know, the show kind of personifies that Black magic is really much needed.
Absolutely. And to me, it's where I want to take television. And I know we talked about this before. I want to give people a chance. And I tell people all the time who sign up to do a show with me, please take advantage of eyeballs being on you.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Take advantage of that. Release something. Do something with this platform. I beg of you. And I can help you get there. But don't be a reality star for the sake of being on television.
Right.
How unfortunate is that?
Mm-hmm.
Get something out of this situation. And the beauty of, and the other reason why these women decided to do it is because they knew that they were going to make great music. And that was going to reignite the flame that they not only had, but that their fan base had been gravitating towards and wanting so much.
Last question is, that house, is this an homage to Prince? I mean, there's a lot of purple. There's a lot of purple. There's a lot of velvet. There are a lot of, like, the architecture is, like, somewhat cathedral-esque. What's going on?
It wasn't a homage to Prince, although that's pretty genius, and I wish it was. We wanted to make it colorful for TV because we knew that people would pay attention to the background.
Yeah.
So we wanted to make it a homage to, like, the girl group era of, like, bright colors and, like you said, velvet and, like, you know, nostalgia. But, like, we wanted to make it that. But, like, but listen, Prince is all over everything. So I will definitely give Prince, who created a girl group called Vanity Six. So we will give Prince all his props.
Do you think you're going to have a reunion show? And if so, can we get Brandy to show up and surprise them?
I would love to have a reunion show. And I would love for Brandy to do anything.
Walks in and she's singing. I mean, they would lose their minds.
They will lose their fucking mind. I tell you, Brandy is the GOAT to them.
Yeah.
Oh. I have to make that happen.
You have to make that happen. And will you just send me the footage ahead of time just so I can see it and cry at home?
Because I love you so much, you'll get this exclusive between us girls.
Oh, good, 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 good. Okay, tell everybody what you're working on now, because you're ridiculous. You always have stuff going on.
Thank you. Love and Marriage Huntsville, new season on the Oprah Winfrey Network, comes out July 17th at 9 o'clock, so we're working on that. And listen, one thing that you know this, Kate, there's so much stuff going on that I don't want to get in trouble with the network.
No, we don't want you to get in trouble. Yeah, we don't want to get you in trouble.
But we're very busy and there's more to come. That's all I can say. There's a lot more on the horizon.
Oh, good, good, good. And where can people follow you?
They can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at @thecarlosking_.
And you have those giant, gorgeous Colgate teeth to go with it.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you a million times.
No, I'll always come back on. Thanks for having me. I love doing this show. So my next project, we'll talk more.
Oh, good, 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 good.
The amazing Kate Casey.
I want to thank my great guests, Carlos King and Rob Sesternino. And remind you guys, jump in the Facebook group because we are talking about shows all week long. So it's Reality Life with Kate Casey on Facebook. My Twitter is @KateCasey. My Instagram is @KateCaseyCA. For the love of God, please follow me because I'm going to post my what to watch list all week. And I am also going to New Jersey this week and it's going to be a shit show because I'm going to the Mecca of Bon Jovi and Bruce Springsteen fans. Also, you should check me out on TikTok. It's Kate Casey. Clubhouse, Spotify, all those audio rooms, I'm under @KateCasey. And I'm always jumping in groups talking about unscripted television. And if you go to my Patreon, patreon.com/KateCasey, you're going to get bonus episodes, life anecdotes, more backstories about reality television shows, and also the wonderful and horrible people that I end up interviewing. And great stories that are from about society, socialites, true crime, et cetera, et cetera. So go check that out. I'm hoping you have a great week and wait until you listen to Friday's episode with Kelly Siegler, the former prosecutor who's now on Cold Justice. She was the one that prosecuted that David Temple case in Texas that we're all obsessed with. And then a review of Love Island and The Bachelorette. So please check in on Friday and I hope you have a great week.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.